Welcome to Spotlight on Health on 96.1 Joy FM with Tom McNulty and Bob Hill, Western New York's only weekly health talk radio program, sponsored by Dent Neurologic Institute, Mercy Hospital, Upstate New York Transplant Services, People Inc., Spotlight on Hope, Success Stories, and Heads Up Business. And now the host of Spotlight on Health, Tom McNulty.
Good morning, Western New York. Wake up. It's time for another informative session of Spotlight on Health on 96.1 Joy FM. I'm your host, Tom McNulty. Our producer each and every week for so many years has been the one and only award-winning producer, Bob Hill. You know him, you love him, and he's the producer of Spotlight on Health. We're very lucky. Bob and I are a great team, and we've had the fortune to work together for many, many years. So our job is to give you important, up-to-date health information from people here in the community are doing outstanding work. So your job as a listener is to know the issues and to know resources available right here in Western New York. You don't need to leave our community to get good health care. Today, we're very delighted to have returning to the show. It's been a while, but we're glad he's back, Dr. Rob Stahl. Dr. Stahl is a geriatrician, and he's just got a fascinating background, but most importantly, and I say this from the heart, Dr. Stahl is well respected in this community for his passion and dedication in geriatric medicine. Dr. Stahl, welcome back to Spotlight on Health.
Thanks so much, Tom. I think the audience is going to ask how much I paid you to say all
No, it's true. The list of good doctors sometimes is a short one, and you're definitely on the list of good doctors because, as I'm sure you would agree, working with older adults takes a certain passion and commitment. Tell us a little bit about your background and yourself and how you led your career into geriatric medicine.
Well, it's kind of a long and winding road, and there's more to go yet, hopefully a lot more to go. My initial loves were science and math, and my passion, my goal, immediate goal was to go to MIT as an undergraduate, and that's where I went for initially physics, but that became a little obtuse and maybe too difficult even, and I switched to electrical engineering and computer science, which then ended up transitioning into the bioelectrical option there at MIT. And from there, I came to UB for med school. And in med school, I had initially planned to be a radiologist, combining my technological background with you know, with imaging and all the I don't think we had MRIs back then when I trained, but we started having CTs at least and and things like that, ultrasound. And but I was very impressed by one of my mentors, Dr. Panara, Vic Panara, who is a radiologist, but he was an internist before he became a radiologist. And he said, to be the best radiologist possible, you should have a good grounding in medicine. And I always strove to be the best in things, and I thought that was a good idea. So I went into the internal medicine program here in Buffalo for 3 years. And then while I was doing that, I happened to do a rotation at the VA hospital on the acute geriatric floor. And that's where I was introduced to the geriatric fellowship program, the geriatricians. Dr. Evan Calkins was the head of the program at that time, an amazing person and truly, you know, a leader in geriatrics nationally. One of the people who had the insight to know that geriatrics was important.
Yeah.
And this was back in 1986 when I started geriatrics. So I decided to sign up for the geriatric fellowship program after my internal medicine. And that finished up in 88. And for the past 23 years or so, I've been out and about focusing my professional practice on geriatric medicine.
Excellent. I think my perception and perception of a lot of physicians that I've talked to is that geriatric patients, and we're going to define what a geriatric patient is pretty soon because I'm interested in your perceptions of when you become a geriatric patient.
But you're not quite there
I'm
yet,
not quite
Tom.
There yet?
No.
Okay, Bob.
Neither is Bob.
Okay. But they often talked about the multiple issues that they bring, and the years and the generations and the value systems that they grew up in, and they just felt there wasn't a relationship there. They didn't really understand a lot of what was going on with those folks, but yet they are part of our treasured past. These are people who have led amazing lives, and they deserve medical respect and dignity.
Yeah, absolutely. My oldest patient that I ever had as my patient lived to be 109 years old. And to give you a perspective, her uncle served in the Civil War.
Wow.
So that gives you an idea of how old she was. I think she was born in 1893 or something around there. Just an amazing person. I have a 102-year-old patient who you would never guess she was 102. She looks maybe 83.
Mm-hmm.
Robust, vibrant, her mind's all there. I say her noodle's al dente. And
yeah, okay.
People who are losing a little bit, then they have a soggy noodle. So
right.
She even uses web TV, email, to communicate with relatives. So these are people that are amazing in and of themselves. Just to become elderly is an achievement in and of itself. And they, what drew me to geriatric medicine, you know, I'm an MIT electrical engineer. I like a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, you know, say their initial reaction is to say, oh, it must be depressing, or, you know, why would you go into that? And I went into it because of the challenge. It's like a detective puzzle to mm-hmm. piece together a lifetime of history, both social and medical, a lifetime of experiences. And then as one gets older, you do not get sick just from being old, but old age certainly predisposes you to getting sick. And that's a very important distinction. And I give the example, I tell the story, a 95-year-old woman comes into my office and she was complaining of pain in her right knee. And she says, Doc, you know, I'm not getting any younger. I'm 95 years old. So I ask her, how's the pain in your left knee? Or how's your left knee? She says, that's fine. I don't have pain in my left knee. And I said, how could the pain in your right knee just be from your age? If your left knee's the same age, that should hurt also if it was just from being 95 years old.
Good point.
And there are so many things in geriatrics that are missed or not thought of because medical training still has not gotten up to speed. Internal medicine and family practice training still does not have the degree of geriatric medicine included in the curriculum that it really needs. There really shouldn't have to be a specialty in geriatrics.
Right.
Given the number of primary care practitioners that care for older patients. But there is and mm-hmm. has to be at this time to try and bring that knowledge base up to where it has to be.
So today we talk about people living longer than ever because of medical intervention, health. Some people are living 10, 15 years longer than their parents. What do you attribute that to?
Well, certainly the major thing that's increased life expectancy in the 1900s especially was the advent of antibiotics. It prevented people from dying from infectious disease.
Mm-hmm.
And then, more recently, advances in treating heart disease and also in treating cancer. And cancer, when I started training, it was a death sentence. People didn't want to hear the word cancer. Now you tell someone they have cancer, and I just had a patient I had to tell that it looks like she has lung cancer. She was more concerned about a Parkinson's disease than her cancer.
Mm.
And now the word that people fear the most is that you have Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah.
But, you know, to get Alzheimer's disease, you have to generally have lived a fairly long life.
Right.
And that's something people in the past didn't benefit from.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because Bob and I have talked on the show about that issue, dementia, Alzheimer's disease, you know, years ago it was called hardening of the arteries and senility. I mean, it came up with a lot of different labels. But in many cases, too, we're finding that people are on so many different medications that the medications can cause what appears to be confusion, disorientation, lethargy. Let's talk about that after the break, because I think our listeners would be very interested in that, especially young listeners who are concerned that their parents seem more confused. They immediately jump to the conclusion, oh, this could be the beginning of Alzheimer's.
You hit the nail on the head. I'd love to talk about that.
Our guest today is Dr. Rob Stahl. He's a geriatrician right here in the Western New York community. And I encourage our listeners, as I always do, get out a pencil and paper, because we're going to give you some really cool and interesting ways that you can follow Dr. Stahl's work. We're going to be talking about Stahl Geriatrics, his technology, his work with apps and iPhones. Yep. A lot to learn. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Oh, another headache. So much to do. I can't focus. There has to be someone that can help.
And there is. Hi, I'm Dr. Laszlo Metzler, director of the Dent Headache Center. If you have a pounding, throbbing, and aching headache that keeps coming back, you're not alone. Headaches affect the lives of 30 million people in the United States. Chronic headaches and migraines is a major cause of missed school and work. But the fact that you have headaches doesn't mean that you have to lose control of your life. Contact your primary care physician to find out if a visit to the Dent Headache Center is appropriate. We'll evaluate your headache history, lifestyle factors, and triggers, and create a regimen to decrease and ultimately eliminate your headaches and migraines. We also offer our patients research studies for the treatment of their headaches.
Finally, the help you need. Call the Dent Headache Center today at 250-2000. What do you have to lose other than your headache pain, your health, your choice? Choose Dent. 250-2000. Visit the Dent Headache Center today for a better tomorrow.
Did you know that depression is one of the primary reasons your employees call in sick? Heads Up Business is a service of success stories designed to help businesses enhance the emotional harmony of employees and the workplace. Mergers, acquisitions, reorganization, downsizing, and a host of other issues can impact employees and your company's safety, productivity, and bottom line. Troubled employees can be costly. Show you care. Heads Up Business will customize a program to meet your needs. All services are on-site, confidential, and immediately available. Call today for an initial consultation. 481-4578. Heads Up Business. 481-4578. Take that progressive step today. Heads Up Business, 481-4578. Show your employees you care.
People Inc. is dignity, respect, and most importantly, People Inc. is freedom. Freedom for seniors of modest income, 62 years or older, who want to remain independent in safe, affordable housing. People Inc. is peace of mind, knowing your loved ones will be taking care of themselves, but will have a caring community of people to lean on, create friendships with, and enjoy making the most of their life. With housing all over Erie County, People Inc. puts your loved ones right where they want to be, close to you. Call People Inc. today at 634-8132 or visit them at people-inc.org.
We're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to Spotlight on Health on 96.1 Joy FM. I'm your host, Tom McNulty. Our producer is Bob Hill. This morning, we're talking with Dr. Rob Stahl. Dr. Stahl is with Stahl Geriatrics. He's a geriatrician, originally an engineer, computer engineer at MIT. So he blends a lot of interest in technology and skills with his passion for helping older adults. Dr. Stahl, before we went to the break, we were talking about something that I just could tell by your nodding of the head is a common issue, but one that our listeners really need to pay close attention to. We all misplace our keys. We all forget sometimes while we walk into a room. But when our loved ones see that happen a little bit more often, they jump to some conclusions they shouldn't. Your comments?
Yes, well, Alzheimer's and dementia in general, and there's a lot of confusion just over that term, so
yes.
I'll just explain that briefly because it deserves to be reinforced. I think of dementia as a fruit bowl, is a way to think about it. Mm-hmm. Dementia is the fruit bowl, and there's individual fruits in the fruit bowl. Mm-hmm. So you think of a dementia bowl in the same way, and there's lots of different types of dementia in the dementia bowl. Dementia basically tells you what's going on. The mind isn't working properly. And the most prominent symptom are memory problems. But there are different things that can cause memory problems. There are memory problems associated with Parkinson's disease, for example. There's memory problems and other thinking problems involved with multiple small strokes. But the most common type of dementia in this dementia bowl is Alzheimer's mm-hmm. disease. So that's one way when people come to me and say, well, one doctor told me it was Alzheimer's, another right. told me it was dementia. You know, what is it? Or the son or daughter of one of my patients says, mm-hmm. you know, what is it? And that's how I explain it.
When you look, too, at the medications they're on, and I'm sure, like many doctors, you encourage people to bring in everything you're currently taking to take a look at the interaction that may be causing some symptoms that with some adjustments.
Medications are something I scrutinize pretty much at every visit. I try to go over the medication someone is on to find out if maybe another doctor prescribed something mm-hmm. Between the visit with me. I recently had the situation where a daughter of a patient, who's the daughter is a physician, and she prescribed a urine incontinence medication for her mother. And that ended up, I think, predisposing her to having falls. And I didn't know about that. And all of a sudden, my patient started having more frequent falls. And it was kind of a puzzle. Why? Nothing else had changed. And then I found out that mm-hmm. this medication had been prescribed by her own daughter, trying to help her, certainly, with an incontinence problem that mm-hmm. was really affecting her quality of life. But the daughter is not a geriatrician and didn't know the basic mantra that I learned day one in my geriatric training, start low and go slow with medications. So she prescribed what would be maybe a typical dose or a reflex dose that a non-geriatrician trained doc would prescribe, and it was too much for her. And I just saw this patient, and I cut back a little bit. I really essentially making the dose in half, and she's better. Mm-hmm. She feels better overall. Her urine problems are controlled, and the falling hasn't recurred.
Yeah, I guess the same goes for over the counter, and there's much more attention being paid to herbals and vitamins, and people shop on their own. So you know, I imagine you look at all of that as well.
Yeah. You know, my homework for you today was to provide you with some questions to ask me, and I didn't do my homework, but you must have read my mind, because over-the-counters also I scrutinize and ask about. I ask patients to bring in all of their medications at the first visit, at least, and when I think there might be some confusion. But one example of an over-the-counter that has caused tremendous problems in patients that I've seen is something that sounds very innocuous, Tylenol PM.
Yeah.
It sounds like, you know, the Tylenol that you just take at night to help you get a good night's sleep. Well, the marketing of it is purposeful to make it sound innocuous. But the PM part really is just throwing in an old antihistamine, Benadryl. Diphenhydramine is the generic name. And the side effect of that old antihistamine, which people don't use anymore, now drugs like Claritin, Loratadine, Allegra are non-sedating antihistamines purposefully because those were bad side effects that people didn't want. And those side effects from Benadryl thrown into a Tylenol to make it Tylenol PM, and then there's also Advil PM, and other combinations over-the-counter, diphenhydramine, Benadryl, can cause blurry vision, urine retention, constipation, unsteadiness on your feet, drowsiness, and of course, because that's the desired side effect, but also drowsiness
that lingers
over into the daytime. And I've even had patients develop extreme anxiety. I had the brother of a radiologist that I knew asked me to take a look at him because he was visiting from Florida, and he said he could never go back to Florida like this. He's a wreck. And the only thing that had changed was the Tylenol PM he started taking. And by recommending stopping that, which he did, he was fine in about a week. It was out of his system, and he was able to go back to Florida and live a normal life.
Yeah. sounds simple, but it's very critical.
Right.
Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about some of the work that you're doing in the technology field. And when we come back from the break, talk about Stahl Geriatrics, your work in technology and medicine, and the new app that you've started on iPhone. Our guest today is Dr. Rob Stahl. He is a geriatrician with Stahl Geriatrics. When we come back, we'll give out some contact information so you can follow up on our topic and with Dr. Stahl today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When it comes to excellence in cardiac surgery, Catholic Health's Heart Center at Mercy Hospital is always a beat ahead. The Society for Thoracic Surgeons has awarded the program a 3-star national quality rating, the highest possible score. That places the Heart Center at Mercy Hospital among the top 12% of 900 cardiac surgery programs in the country. More than 700 factors are evaluated for this rating, including the treatment patients receive before, during, and after surgery. And our success rates are the best in the region. So when you choose the Heart Center at Mercy Hospital, you're not only getting one of the best heart surgery programs in New York, you're getting one of the best in the country. To learn more, call 716-447-6205 or visit chsbuffalo.org. Catholic Health. See us in a new light.
Spotlight on Hope, Inc. is a non-for-profit organization utilizing the creative arts of theater, film, television, radio, music, word, dance, and photography to advance health, medical, behavioral health, and social information to identified audiences and targeted markets. Does your organization need a new look? Tired of the same old PowerPoint presentations? Let Spotlight on Hope orchestrate a presentation that brings new life and energy to your message. The creative staff of Spotlight on Hope will develop the right production to reach your objective. Call 481-4578. That's 481-4578. What are you waiting for? Get in the spotlight today. Spotlight on Hope, 481-4578.
We're the city of good neighbors, and neighbors can help neighbors today by giving blood that stays right here in our community to Upstate New York Transplant Services, our only community blood bank. And that saves millions of dollars for area hospitals, where the costs for blood transfusion are among the highest they face. Local savings, local jobs, local lives from Upstate New York Transplant Services. Only Upstate New York Transplant Services Community Blood Bank keeps all your blood donations right here. Only Upstate New York Transplant Services saves area hospitals millions of dollars. Only Upstate New York Transplant Services supplies all of Kaleida Health and the hospitals in Niagara and Wyoming County. The only community blood bank that serves only Western New York. Only Upstate New York Transplant Services, your local community blood bank.
You've been given the gift of life.
The gift.
The gift of life.
Give it back.
Be a community blood donor. Make an appointment today at unyts.org.
We're back. So are you. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to Spotlight on Health on 96.1 Joy FM. I'm your host, Tom McNulty. Our producer is Bob Hill. This morning, we're talking with Dr. Rob Stahl. Dr. Stahl, before we forget, let's make sure we give out some contact information so our listeners can follow up.
Yes. My office number is 7. Well, it's actually going to change, so let me not give that.
Okay.
Because I'll be
How about the website?
The website, stahlgeriatrics.com, and that will have all the updated phone numbers also. Email drstall, like Dr. Stahl, at stahlgeriatrics.com, and that should be fine to get in touch with me. And,
excellent.
Yeah.
I want to talk about a couple of remaining things, your interest in applications, literally, in technology, and then some of the work that you're doing now with DeGraff Hospital.
Yeah, I'll start with DeGraff. After several years, really the past 20 years, having an outpatient practice on my own, I thought it was time to join some colleagues and see what we can do together to develop a comprehensive geriatric care program for this region.
Terrific.
And I'm headed to DeGraff. My first day is this coming Friday, actually, and looking forward to it. There's excellent geriatricians there, Dr. Garbarino, Dr. Desmond, who I knew from my fellowship time. And along with outpatient work, we plan on a dedicated inpatient unit for geriatric patients, as well as other services along the whole continuum of care. With regard to the apps and technology, I'll just say that the basic concept behind all of that is, to paraphrase President Kennedy, and what I tell my patients is to ask not what your doctors can do for you, ask what you can do for your doctors and yourself. And these are things that can be accessed online. My website has a lot of information on geriatric care and links to the different online utilities that I've developed over the years. One, you can go to a dedicated website, seniorselfassessment.com, is a way to remember that. And that's a comprehensive senior health assessment that you go through a series of questionnaires. You can do one or all, and there are about 30. And it's about 5 minutes to complete each one. And after that, you can print a summary report.
Oh, terrific.
Which you can email to yourself or print out for your doctor.
Fantastic.
And that's a way, kind of a back-end way to help doctors get up to speed on geriatrics.
Yeah, plus you could do it with a family member, caregiver.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, our current cohort of older adults is not as computer savvy as the one coming up in the next 10 or 20 years. But usually an adult son or daughter or other relative or neighbor even can help access that. Or you can even go to a senior center where they have a computer. The other thing is that just came out is an iPhone app, also for the same purpose, really. To have in your hands a way to identify a problem, and in this case, it's depression, is the first app. It's called the Senior Mood Assessment.
I have it.
And if...
Because I was waiting for you to tell me I'm a senior.
Well, you bought it to use for other people.
Yeah.
It costs $1.99. I wanted these things to be cost-effective.
Yeah.
And the cost, of course, is so I can continue to develop things like this. But I want it to get in the hands of people. And it's a 15-question application. It takes less than 5 minutes to go through. And it sums up your answers and lets you know if depression might be part of your problem. And as you alluded to earlier, things like depression can mimic things like Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah, true.
And people who might seem demented often, and it's a shame when they're not diagnosed with a problem like depression.
Well, the concern we have too, as you know, is if we ask people what age group has the highest rate of suicide, most will say, oh, it must be teenagers. And it's actually those that are 65 and older.
Absolutely. And depression is a key issue. I once had a patient in a nursing home who told me she was dead. And that she just thought she was dead. And, you know, I asked her the question, would you like someone to help you as a foot in the door? And she said yes. Mm-hmm. And she allowed me to prescribe an antidepressant for her. And now you would never guess that this woman ever was in that situation. She was skin and bones. She was not eating. And she didn't just want to die. She thought she was dead.
Yeah.
So getting at depression and then other apps that will come out soon will look into caregiver stress, balance and fall predispositions, along with other things that are very common in this population but often go undiagnosed. So if any of that helps even one person, I'm glad that I did it.
Yeah, excellent. And you're doing fantastic work. Dr. Stahl is also, as I am, a fellow in the Community Health Foundation of Western and Central New York, which is a group, a very proactive group of people who are looking at cutting-edge technology and ways to enhance the delivery of services to older adults. So I'm proud to say that you and I are fellows in that organization. Dr. Stoll, thank you again so much for being a guest today. We salute the work that you're doing. Good luck with the program at DeGraff. It sounds like another regional center of excellence, and thanks for being a guest today.
It's my pleasure, and Tom, you keep up the great work you're doing, too. Oh,
thank you very much. As always, it's a pleasure to work with my producer, Bob Hill. Tune in next week for another informative session of Spotlight on Health on 96.1 Joy FM. Until then, stay healthy, stay informed, and stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to Spotlight on Health on 96.1 Joy FM with Tom McNulty and Bob Hill. Sponsored by Dent Neurologic Institute, Mercy Hospital, Upstate New York Transplant Services, People Inc., Spotlight on Hope, Success Stories, and Heads Up Business. Spotlight on Health on 96.1 Joy FM.